Well, this morning we are looking at a question. There was a man, and he approached Jesus, and he asked a very, very important question. In Luke 13:23, it's recorded, Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Are there few that be saved? We don't know who this fellow was or what it was that was actually motivating this man to ask such a question. None of that information is given to us in the Word of God. Why he asked the question, we're not sure. We are only left to speculate at the best, and we will not do that this morning. Nevertheless, the answer to this question is very clear. The answer is very clear. Jesus answers the question in words that are most easy to understand. I have come to realize, no matter how plain and how simple Jesus makes it, there are some that will never get it. They will never get it. The question is dealing with salvation. Have you ever noticed that the passages that are most important to one's salvation are the easiest to understand? You go through the Bible, and the questions and the passages that have to do with one's salvation are the easiest to understand. The man wanted to know how many are going to be saved. Are there few that be saved? I really wish the majority of evangelicals would just read and listen to the words of Jesus and let Jesus define the means in which one receives salvation. Here we have a clear question. Nothing ambiguous about the question. And it's being asked to the founder of Christianity. The question is being asked to the founder of Christianity. The one who is at the very center of Christianity is going to answer the question. And therefore, we should be all ears. This is not Peter, this is not John, and this is not Paul, as great and inspired as they wrote. This is the Lord Himself. This is such an important question, especially because of the one who it's being asked to. We should highly regard how Jesus responds to this question. So much depends upon His answer. So much depends upon His answer. Jesus responded in verse 24 of Luke 13. Strive. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Strive. I'm sure that that word in itself conjures up many pictures in your mind. I like what one Puritan writer said. He said, there is often much to be learned in a single word of Scripture. So true. Especially when it's the words of Jesus. It's interesting that much of professing Christianity would never dream of putting these two words together. Saved and strive. Unheard of. Unimaginable. Some would even go as far as to say blasphemy. But Jesus, thank God, Jesus is not professing Christianity. Jesus has no problem with associating the two words, saved and strive. Jesus, out of all people, knows that grace and strive are not contradictory. Those who know the grace of God and have received the grace of God are people that strive. Jesus starts off His answer to the question by addressing our duty as Christians. Our duty is to strive. We are required by our Lord Jesus Christ to strive. What does strive mean? It's obvious to me, and it should be obvious to you, that the majority of professing Christians don't have the foggiest idea what the word strive means. Let me give you some English translations of the Bible, other English translations of the Bible, to let you see how this word has been translated from the Greek to the English. Very interesting. They have many different opinions on this word, but they are all very true. The Diaglot, New Testament, agonize. The New English Translation, exert every effort. The New Living Translation, work hard. I believe that's the Weymouth New Testament, strain every nerve. The CEV, Contemporary English Version, do all you can. The CLV, be struggling. The HCSB, I'm not sure what that exactly means, but I like how they translated this, make every effort. The LITV, labor. The NCV, try hard. And the WEAST translation, be endeavoring with strenuous zeal. Do you have the picture of what this Greek word strive means? All these translations are speaking the truth. In Thayer's lexicon, the Greek word is agonizomai. It's translated in the King James Bible as strive 3 times, fight 3 times, labor fervently 1 time. It means to enter a contest, contend in gymnastic games, to contend with adversaries, fight, metaphorically to contend, struggle with difficulties and dangers, to endeavor with strenuous zeal, strive to obtain something. Strive teaches that man has a responsibility in his salvation. Salvation is not all God, but yet it is not all me. There's a balance. It's both. Salvation starts with God. He's the one who provides it, and He's the one that lays down the conditions for us to receive it. But we must be willing to obey those conditions in order to obtain it. It is very common in the New Testament for a writer to emphasize, on occasion, certain conditions related to salvation without citing all the requirements for salvation. Sometimes Jesus tells us to believe, and that's all you see in the verse. Other times you see the word baptized. Believe and be baptized. Other times He tells us to repent. Other times He tells us to keep the commandments. Sometimes He will even tell us to endure to the end. Then He also tells us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. All related to salvation. All those words I just used, you can find in relationship to the words of Jesus and salvation in the Gospels. And here He tells us to strive. The error and contradiction in Bible study is when you only emphasize one requirement without taking in consideration other requirements found in other passages. You have the believe only crowd, and they say believe only because they just take those passages on believe and leave out baptized, leave out repentance, leave out keeping commandments. The rule is we are not saved by any one thing alone, at the exclusion of other things that are required elsewhere. How are we to strive? That's a good question. Paul tells us this. 2 Timothy 2:5. If any man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully or according to the rules. It's very important that when we strive for Jesus, we strive according to what is commanded to us in the Scriptures. If we don't do that, all of our striving is going to be in vain. An athlete can strive in a contest, in a game, in a competition. But if he does not strive according to the rules of the game, he is not going to be awarded the crown at the end. And he's going to be disqualified. All the striving that he did was wasted. We've been given the rules in the Word of God. Our striving does not have to be in vain. We are to strive according to the Word of God, and that is where we find the will of God. In regards to being saved, Jesus here does not mix words here. He doesn't command us here to be sincere people, people with good intentions, hoping for the best outcome. He clearly tells us to strive. Why does Jesus tell us to strive this morning? We are to strive because the way to be saved, the way to enter into the kingdom of God when it comes to this earth through Jesus Christ, the way to have age life or eternal life in the coming kingdom for the 1,000 years, is described by Jesus as a straight gate. It's called the straight gate. The word straight means narrow, constricted, a picture of a tight squeeze. It means very restricted, less than standard width, limited in size, a small breadth or width in comparison to length. The Amplified Bible says, strive to enter by the narrow door. Force yourselves through it, the Amplified says. The New Living Translation says, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. Jesus, in Matthew 7, tells us that there are actually two different gates. And a person has to make a choice in which gate he's going to enter. And Jesus bids us to enter the straight gate. In Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. You know, Jesus Christ takes issue with those that take his religion lightly. It's a serious issue for Jesus. It's amazing how many professing Christians treat their religion so lightly and so casually. It's shocking to me how serious they take other things in life. But when it comes to their Christian life, their spiritual life, where they go to worship, where they're going to be fed the Word of God, they're so casual. And that should be the most important thing in a person's life. I would make all my decisions and where I lived or where I decided to live out my life around where I'm going to be fed the Word of God. They have no idea what this word strive means. They strive to put food on the table, but they will not strive to be in God's will. Jesus said to the devil in the wilderness, in Matthew 4:4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. And people live out their lives taking the name of Jesus, but living by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jesus said, it is written. Quoting from Deuteronomy. We have to strive not only to put bread on the table, but we have to strive to live by every word of God. The word strive means that you make every effort, you strain every nerve, every muscle fiber to be in the right place, to be right with God. Away with this at-ease Christianity that we see and no people who are involved in. Away with that at-ease Christianity. Now, all the other decisions of life come first and foremost, over and above spiritual decisions. If it's not convenient, I don't do it. Christianity has become so feeling-oriented. And Jesus said we should be striving, not feeling. So many just don't understand what Jesus Christ is teaching this morning. Why does Jesus want us to strive? Our future depends on it. The way that leads to life is a straight and narrow, and it's very restricted. Did you read that this morning with me? The gate is called the straight gate. It's not called that without cause. It always has been straight, it always has been narrow, and difficult to pass through. And he prophetically tells us that few ever find it. That's Bible prophecy. That should tell us something. If few ever find it, that means only few are really striving. We desperately need to take heed to the words of Jesus. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. The gate will always be narrow to those that do what is right in their own eyes. The gate will always be narrow to those who love sin and disobey the Word of God. The gate will always be narrow to those Christians who set their minds on earthly things and seek its pleasure and rewards over the will of God. It is narrow to all those Christians who compromise in order to be comfortable and convenient. It always will be narrow to them. Jesus says, strive, Christian. Strive in your Bible reading. Strive in your prayer life. You said, well, I thought it was all grace. When you strive, you have grace. You've received the grace of God. When you strive, that's God's grace. Strive to be a good witness to the world. Strive to be a godly parent to your children. Strive to make your marriage and home a place where Christ abides. Strive to change. Don't be the same person and just say, well, this is the way I am, this is the way I always will be. Strive to change. Strive against your weakness. Strive against your wrong attitudes. Strive to put your life in order in a way that pleases God. Strive to keep perspective proper. Strive teaches us this morning that this casual, this lazy, laid-back approach to the Christian life is sin. Paul told the church at Philippi that they should be striving together in the faith of the gospel. In Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul knew what it meant to strive. He said in Romans 15:20, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. He strived to preach the gospel. Not where Christ was named. In Romans 15:30, he talked about Christians striving together for Him in their prayers. Strive teaches that we must expect, we must anticipate a great many adversities, a great many adversaries who will resist us, who will fight against us. We should never think that we're going to overcome the world and all its powerful temptations and all the opposition that comes against us when we want to live by faith without some sort of conflict. There will be resistance. There will be friction. There will be conflict. And that is why Jesus says strive. 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. The word fight is the same word that Jesus used. Strive. The Young's Living Translation translates this word, be striving. the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Where did this idea come from, where we can just approach Christianity and the Christian faith with just approach it in ease and not expect difficulty? Paul agrees with Jesus. He is consistent with the teachings of Jesus. He says we have to lay hold on our future. Lay hold on eternal life. Eternal life in the coming age or in the world to come in Mark 10:30 is something that we need to be striving for. That's what Jesus is teaching, and that is what Paul is teaching. It's a fight. It is a struggle. And Paul calls it a good fight of faith. We need to choose our battles wisely in this life. And this is one battle that we need to fight more than any other battle. To lay hold on something means that we have to go after it. That's what this word lay hold on means in 1 Timothy 6:12. We have to go after it. We have to pursue it. In other words, it's not just going to drop in our lap unconditionally. So sick of the Christianity that all they talk about is unconditional, unconditional, unconditional. I don't know what Bible they're reading. No. The condition is laid down by our Lord Jesus Christ. We must strive. We have to be willing to fight. To win. At all costs. And that's what Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians 9:23. He says, I do all things for the gospel's sake. Everything I do. All my decisions are around the gospel's sake. That I may be a joint partaker thereof. Of what the gospel promises in the future. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so run, that you may attain. And every man that striveth, oh, there's that lovely word. Paul loves the word just like Jesus. Every man that striveth in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Paul says, hello, I want you to learn something. Look at the competitive athlete. Look at the competitive athlete this morning. He is able to strive in the game, in the contest, because he has exercised self-control in all things. He has disciplined his life, his personal life. Their purpose for taking such measures of pain, such measures of intensity of discipline, is to lay hold on a crown that is corruptible. But you know what? They feel that the prize is worth it. Then Paul writes this, but we, Christians, but we an incorruptible. You know what he's saying here? He's saying we should be like these athletes who strive to win by exercising self-control in all things. They pay a price. And so should we. And that's what Jesus Christ is teaching by the word strive. The kingdom of God is not this thing where we sit back and are laid back and are on automatic, are on co-pilot, thinking that we're going to cruise into the kingdom. It takes deliberate, intentional decisions to strive. I love what one writer said, a Puritan writer, J.C. Ryle, said, there are no gains without pains in the spiritual things any more than in the temporal. So true. We can't make gains in our spiritual life without some sacrifice, without some pain, without some discomfort. If you really want to make progress in your spiritual life, you've got to go beyond your feelings. You've got to tackle it head on. and say, this is the way I want to live. I want to have a prayer life. I want to have a Bible reading plan. I want to read the Bible all in 1 year. I want to read the New Testament all in 1 week. I want to start making changes in these areas and apply the Bible teaching that I know in these areas. Deliberate. Foreplanned. Attitude to what? Win. Win the contest. Beat the devil. Beat my flesh. And have victory over the world. Jesus Christ is not playing word games when He said the way into life is a straight gate and narrow way. There's no side door. There's no bypass. There's no gap or low place in the wall. We have to strive to enter in the narrow gate, the straight gate. Paul preached the same gospel. You have one guy I read, and he had it so right in the word strive, but he said, oh, this is not Paul's gospel. This is Jesus' gospel. Paul's gospel is another gospel. Paul preached the same gospel. We saw the word that he used. He said, lay hold on eternal life by striving in the good fight of faith. I really love the 1912 Weymouth Bible translation and how the Weymouth translation translates Paul's words in Romans 2, 6 to 8. So enlightening. He says this, to each man he will make an award corresponding to his actions. To those, on the one hand, who by lives of persistent right doing are striving for glory. There you have it. I love that word, striving. They're striving for glory, honor, and immortality, the life of the ages. The life of the ages. That's how Weymouth translated eternal life. He translated eternal life as life of the ages. The life of the ages. Meaning there are many ages, but this is the life of the ages. While on the other hand, upon the self-willed who disobey the truth and obey unrighteousness will fall anger and fury and affliction and awful distress. Please listen this morning. Strive teaches that all that are outside the gate are in great danger. That's what the word strive teaches. It teaches that all those that are outside the gate are in great mortal danger. You know, Jesus not only gave a command here to strive in Luke 13, 24, but He also spoke prophetically. He gave a very sobering prophecy. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. That's a prophecy. That is a Bible prophecy. They were seekers, but they were not strivers. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. You know, Jesus commanded us to seek. But He also commanded us to strive. Strive to enter. When will this be? At what time will the gate of salvation, the gate of eternal life, when will it close? When will it be shut? When will striving be of no profit? When will the long-suffering of God come finally to an end? Jesus, the master of the house, is going to come back in the glory of His kingdom, and He will shut the door. Jesus prophetically said in Luke 13, 25, when once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And He will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Jesus is the master of the house. And one day He is going to shut the door. In that day, the throne of grace will be taken down, and in the place of the throne of grace will be the throne of judgment. Romans 14, 11 and 12. Paul says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And that is when this prophecy, this sobering prophecy of Jesus, is going to be brought to pass. Many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And these are people that called Jesus Lord, Lord. That's not a Hindu. That's not a Muslim. I think that's highly significant. And what I find highly, highly interesting is in verse 26 of Luke 13. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. Boy, is that interesting. To eat and drink in the presence speaks of some kind of relationship going on here. Some kind of acquaintance that these people had with Jesus. And obviously, this prophecy is applying at that point in time to the multitude of Jews that were around Jesus' ministry when he was on the earth. But the same applies today. You have many people who take the name of Jesus and even know his teachings. But like the multitude of Jews that followed Jesus all through Palestine, at the time of Christ, they were people that did not strive. They didn't strive. You know, just hanging around Jesus is not going to allow you to go through the narrow gate. Just hanging around his teachings, they're not going to get you through the narrow gate. You have to be willing to strive. I love what Matthew Henry says about this passage. The reason why many come short of grace and glory is because they rest in a lazy seeking of that which will not be attained without laborious striving. This is on your notes, by the way. They have a good mind to happiness and a good opinion of holiness and take some good steps towards both. But their convictions are weak. They do not consider what they know and believe, and consequently, their desires are cold and their endeavors feeble, and there is no strength or steadiness in their resolutions. And thus they come short and lose the prize because they do not press forward. Maybe these are people that went about Christianity their own way. But one thing I know for sure is that they did not strive to enter by the narrow gate. Seekers, yes, but not strivers. I like what Barnes has to say about this passage. In this life, they neglected religion and are engaged about other things. At death or at the judgment, they will seek to enter in. But it will be too late. The door will be shut. And because they did not make religion the chief business of their life, they cannot then enter in. These are old writers. When they used the word religion, they meant the carrying out of what you believe, the duty of the faith that you follow. Prophetically speaking, Jesus says he's going to shut the door one day. And it's going to be too late for too many. Only a few will be saved. And that is the answer to his question. That is the way he's answering this question to this man. Only few are going to be saved. Revelation 22, 14 and 15, John writes, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Strive teaches that all those outside the gate are in great danger. And Jesus said it in the same passage in Luke 13, 28. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Obviously, these people will be able to recognize these people. You'll see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. But you yourselves thrust out. The New American Standard Bible says cast out. The NIV says thrown out. And the Basic Bible English says shut outside. This prophecy is going to be fulfilled to the letter. To the letter. All Bible prophecies have always been filled to the letter. Not one word will fail. It will be accomplished. And repentance shall come to many too late. The day is coming upon us when the value of everything shall be changed. The value of gold, the gold will now be on the streets. The day is coming when the value of everything is going to be changed. The day is coming when thousands upon thousands shall care nothing for the things they once lived for. And they're going to desire only the things which they once despised. Remember in closing this morning, the cross is only for a little season, but the crown is forever. Let us strive. Let us strive. Amen. Father, we thank you, God, for this exhortation this morning from the powerful words of our Lord Jesus. May they be taken seriously. May they be investigated thoroughly. And may they be applied wholly. We pray, God, that you would help us, God, be people that strive. We strive because Jesus told us to strive. That was His message. That was His command. And only few that strive will be saved. Lord, help us to realize this. Help us not to fall into the Laodicean Christianity, the Christianity that laid back, do whatever, read my Bible once in a while, do what I think is right. Help us, God, never to fall into that crowd. Help us, Lord, to be strivers, not just seekers. I pray, God, that this message would help us, Lord, encourage us, and all those that are listening on the internet, God, they would consider the words of Jesus, strive, strive. In Jesus' name.